I let him know we were going to do this fine, so he's alright.
New sheet. This new sheet. Oh, all those libs.
Hello.
We're past the clock, right?
Morning, Mike.
Or afternoon.
Yeah, that's right. Except for commissioners are here along with Axel, Eric Hidla from the Columbian, Kelly Sills, and myself.
Hey.
We have the paper in front of us, Mr. Chairman. May we go?
Please.
Go.
Okay. I'll just start going here. The stormwater bill. So this is mostly going to be an update again on our priority bills or what's left of them, frankly. The stormwater bills, as you know, the delay bill, we had hearings in the Senate on that bill. The bill did not move from committee prior to last Friday's cutoff. And I guess I should review. Last Friday was the policy committee cutoff, and this coming Friday is the fiscal committee cutoff, which puts us just over, we're just about over a third of the way through session. So they're spending the mornings out on the House and Senate floors right now and in committees in the afternoon, and the fiscal committees being both transportation and ways and means and appropriations. So and the prioritizing state investments and then the stormwater compliance project, none of those bills passed from committee. However, I do know you received a letter from Ecology, and I'm probably oversimplifying, but essentially I believe them saying that they would figure out a way to make one of the stormwater compliance bill work.
So Mike, yes. Just to be so we're crystal clear on this, there are six pieces of legislation for stormwater. Are any of them still alive?
No.
All right, so we're going to cross all those.
Yep.
The stormwater compliance project, yeah, we did get something from Representative Pike saying that, you know, that there was movement, that Ecology had given her a letter. I haven't personally seen anything yet from Ecology saying that they're actually going to work with us on a pilot project.
Oh, okay. Has anyone seen it?
Yeah, I have the letter. I didn't know. I thought it went to the board, so I'll get it to you guys.
I didn't see it.
It's from the new director.
I emailed to you and other elected officials, and I know how your inboxes are. So that's
and it is basically, it was Ecology's commitment to the representative and to move forward with the substance of those House bill and Senate bill, the Stormwater Compliance Project bills, without the bills themselves.
That's right.
Because they already have existing authority to do that.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, and I think at the end of the day, what I had understood to be the issue was, yes, they may have been able to do this, but would they? And the fact that now it seems as though there is a commitment that they will move forward with something is a positive.
I have one.
With regard to the delay bill, there just was not unanimity amongst all of the phase ones as to how hard they wanted to push on it. So we were kind of left hanging out alone on that one.
Yep.
And on the prioritization of investments, I think similar to the other, I think there was probably some worry from other jurisdictions that it would take away money that they thought they may get one day or not get. So that was kind of the background.
Well, and with that one too, Mike, aren't they going to try to work on a kind of a behind-the-scenes fix or prioritization? I thought the Association of Cities was...
The broad discussion of what to do with stormwater funding is still going on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seemed as though they had come up with some agreements to some degree.
Yeah.
Okay,
the economic tax credit bill, this is the .09, correct? And the House version never did get a hearing. The Senate version got a hearing, and the Economic Development Committee passed from committee and needs to be passed from Ways and Means this week for this coming Friday. It has not been scheduled for a hearing. I've been working with the prime sponsor. I've talked to the chair of the committee about it as well. Through the prime sponsor, and at this point, we are not scheduled to get a hearing. The reasons I'm hearing back are it just frankly costs too much, given their budget deficit. This doesn't come as a shock to me. I was hoping we would, at a minimum, get a hearing in the Senate Ways and Means Committee, but that hasn't happened. We can keep pushing on this. This bill has general fund impact, so it's not necessarily subject to the cutoff. But I would have preferred for it to have moved by now. But we'll keep pushing on it. But but at this point it doesn't sound good given the chair's comments about the budget problems.
If there are people who we need to specifically touch on this, Bill, would you please, not this second because we aren't going to write them down, but get us a list of who we need to be touching in Ways and Means. I'm coming up Thursday afternoon and be there all day Friday for Public Works Board, so I can, talk with a few, but we can also kind of get on the horn and get our economic development partners on the horn to those folks as well.
Okay, I will do that.
Have you had a conversation with Senator Hatfield at all?
Because I know he's passing, Axel.
What's that?
Just in passing.
Okay.
But given the makeup of the Senate, with he being in the minority party now, or I don't know quite what they call themselves now because of the way the dynamic in the Senate. Our best friends are in the majority party on this issue in the county, or that represent the county, and they're just having a tough time again because of the budget problems. So,
okay.
The last bill of our priorities is the Industrial Land Bank legislation. This was prime sponsored by Representative Wiley. I met with her yesterday. Bluntly put, she's got some concerns with the bill right now. And the economic development direction of the county. I think she cited the funding issue with the CREDC, and in her words, I'm kind of paraphrasing the conversation because I was speaking with her for about a half hour about it, about just some of the discourse in the community, the dialogue in the community on larger projects, and I think a frustration with that. You'll remember this is the bill that delayed that did away with a date change, or it made a date change from 2014 to 2016, and that date change is December 31st. So, as I understood it at the county, there were some issues with meeting that deadline of December 31st of 2014, and that's why we needed the date change. So I just wanted to re-ask that we're 100% sure that we can't make it by that 2014 date of December 31st of 2014, and I can look for other opportunities and continue to work with the prime sponsor of the bill, but wanted to relay those concerns she gave to me.
The concern is the date of implementation?
No, I think it's, Commissioner, it's not necessarily with the date of implementation. I think the concern is with what she feels is the direction of the county when it comes to economic development issues.
Oh, so she's upset with us over CREDC.
Yes. I think you can infer from those comments. You'd have to ask her that specifically, give her that specific question, but
hey, Mike,
that she did cite that as a reason that she doesn't have some concern.
Mike, this is Kelly. Do you know, does this concern the Section 365 or the 367 Industrial Land Bank?
I don't know, Kelly. That's not... is that within the RCW?
Yeah.
Right. And the reason I ask is I don't recall a deadline date or a sunset date for either of those. I thought that got taken care of a few years ago.
It just got moved. There's been one extension already on the Industrial Land Bank legislation that was originally passed in 2001, maybe. Mm-hmm. So there was a timeline extension once. This would be the second actual extension of timeline.
And that's for both of them?
Kelly, one of the first bills I worked for the county years ago was an extension. So, and this is again another extension.
We'll get more information, Mike, about what we can do in the between now and the end of 2014, if we can light a fire under it to get a little, so that even if this bill doesn't move forward, that we can move forward on the project.
Incidentally, too, Commissioners, there's an amendment that's been drafted by Representative David Taylor. He's a Republican from the town of Moxie. He used to represent part of Clark County, but in the redistricting, he changed. He's more out of the Senator Huntingford's district is the district he's from. He has an amendment to, within the statute, there's a number of criteria that need to be reached in order to have an industrial land bank. Mm-hmm. He essentially strikes all those criteria, so virtually any county could do this, just FYI. But
future-wise will kill that.
I think that is probably accurate. I'm certain they'd be opposed to it.
Uh, Wasn't Harris the co-sponsor on the industrial land banks?
He is. Mm-hmm. Commissioner, he is.
And have you talked to him?
I have not had a chance to catch up with him yet, but I plan to do that.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. I think that they've got to get over it.
Okay. I've got a couple other bills that I would look for your direction on. The first one is House Bill 1911, and its companion Senate Bill 5792. I gave you, I'm hoping you have a one-pager there on jail medical costs.
The last thing in your pack. It's on a very bad page. Just flip
yes,
over.
We do.
Okay, so essentially what happened is the legislature in, what year did they do this? In 2012, I believe. They passed a bill that said that DOC inmates had to continue to get hospital or Medi-Cal reimbursements at the Medicaid rate. This bill would extend the same to the folks that are near jail facilities because, as you know, a lot of your inmates likely don't have health insurance or when they go in are on programs that terminate or suspend when they're incarcerated. And so this is a cost recovery measure for you all at the end of the day.
Is there a downside?
You know, I don't think so, Commissioner Medora. I guess I'd look to Bill to see if he just, and I know you don't have the bill language in front of you, but just on the issue itself, I don't know that there could be a downside.
No, probably not.
It is a fiscal hit, so it will have difficulty here, without a doubt. It will be a heavy lift to get budget writers to grab it and go for it. I'm trying to bring up the fiscal note here as I'm talking to you to see how much it costs. But
although that would help all the counties, right?
It should, yes.
It should.
So I would think every county would be supporting it.
Right. Well, and I believe they are. The association has taken that position, but I just wanted to know if you all wanted me to weigh in on it as well on behalf of you all.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, please. And okay. We'll get you a cost sheet of how much we pay and how much this might save, and so that you have a little bit of ammo.
That'd be great, actually. That'd be awesome if I could get that.
We'll make sure.
Okay. Next bill, interesting topic. This is the non-resident sales tax exemption bill with a more creative name than that.
Yeah.
So what's going on here is the prime sponsors, the prime sponsor and a number of them, mostly from the Democrat caucus, in fact, I think all of them. So it would repeal the non-resident sales tax exemption and then fund what's called the working families tax exemption, which I didn't know this thing existed, but apparently there's some sort of a rebate program in place, and I guess rebate's my word, but these families that qualify, and I think they qualify within the means of the earned income tax credit. If they qualify for that, they can get a certain percentage of their sales tax they've paid to the state returned to them through some sort of remittance process. So that bill is on the books, but it has never been funded. The legislature suspends it all the time because it like others, it costs money. But this bill aims to remove the non-resident sales tax exemption and apply that money to the program to fund this program for essentially what are low-income families. And I think about the biggest rebate they can get on an annual basis, as I understood it, was about $250. In the committee, the prime sponsor of the bill did talk about Southwest Washington or Porter County is the way he said it, but then specifically said Southwest Washington as well, and the adverse impact on the sales tax flight leakage issue and how this bill may or may not impact retailers and talked about maybe doing some sort of mitigation fund. You all in the past boards, have taken a position, and if I remember correctly, open to removing the sales tax exemption, but wanting to keep it in place for large purchases.
That has been our position historically, primarily because we have a large auto industry that has testified on numerous occasions, and I think rightly so, that they would be decimated if the sales tax exemption went away, because they get a lot of business coming from across the river that would simply go away and would go to Oregon. And so we have the auto industry specifically is kind of the large purchase, and there's other, but that's the primary one. So we had previously, we as a board had said, for large purchases you would keep it in place, but you would set a threshold below which you would not have the exemption so that you wouldn't have the problem going into Target or Fred Meyer or whatever, and having somebody say, oh, I have an Oregon ID, and going in and buying $50 worth of stuff and then making everybody wait in line while they wrote down their Oregon license information. So we deal with some of the situation, not all of it, but this bill doesn't give us, I mean, the whole point of it was to reduce sales tax leakage and provide revenue for needed services here, and if the state's just going to scoop up all the money that's raised and hand it off to somebody else, we see no benefit. I mean, that, as far as Southwest Washington and sales tax leakage and all of that, there's no additional benefit to the local jurisdictions if the local share of the sales tax isn't kept locally.
Right, well, I think on the note, you would collect your local portion, but you mean the state's portion.
So is that part of the bill that...
I would assume, that's a good question, Commissioner. I would assume...
Because it doesn't look like it. Based on what I'm seeing, they actually calculate the state sales tax and use rate for the state, and they say local tax rates vary from 0.5 to 3, which indicates to me that they've included that money and the local share as part of what they're going to scoop up.
Okay, so now that's a good question. So I'll raise that local share question with the prime sponsor. I'll try to track him down and talk to him about that. I think that the non-resident issue will be around as they get close to dealing with the budgets. And I guess this is a way to talk about it, maybe not specifically to this bill, but just the issue in general, separating out what they're going to do, the other program they're going to fund by removing the sales tax exemption. In general, does the board want to take a position on the non-resident sales tax with the caveat that it does need to go back to the counties that it's been hurting? I guess I'm kind of looking for a broader position. If you all are comfortable taking one or want to have that discussion, or do we want to think about that and come back to it next week?
Now, what I see is that we could lose more in the benefit than what we gain if this was to go through.
Yep.
So if it's just a matter of trading dollars and then hurting our small retail sales, we lose again. So unless we get the whole thing, I don't think we're interested.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, then I guess we'll stay out of it for now.
Well, no, I mean, I would oppose it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that...
Explain why.
And explain why. And say, we're opposed to, we appreciate the conversation about, getting rid of the sales tax exemption, but we're opposed to this legislation because of exactly what Commissioner Mielke said.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right.
And the issue, if it does come back up this session, we'll revisit it. Maybe if it does address some of those concerns and it's talking about, maybe potentially backfill a general fund, or if we can somehow support it by seeking some local mitigation, maybe that makes it work.
Well,
with an amendment to remove that one second part.
Right, Christian, I think it would be a whole other bill, I think, is what will end up happening.
Yeah.
So this is going to be some of the end game stuff.
Yeah, this is one specific, they're looking for some money for low-income families, so, and they're trying to use this as the funding source for it.
And this source has been popular. In last year, I know there was a bill, or the session before, there was one to fund education with it, with the non-resident.
Yeah.
So it's always one that comes up.
Sure. Okay.
And then we've got the list of the, I guess what I'd refer to as the crossing bills. Two of them remain in play. That's the second one on your list, 5088, and that is the removal of the sub-district option for C-TRAN.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part of that bill is it also impacted Spokane, because the way the bill was originally drafted, it talked about border counties of a certain size, which you and Spokane County fall into the same club. The way the bill passed from committee, it specifically eliminates it just for Clark County.
So somebody in Spokane didn't like that, so basically.
Truth be told, you all know I represent Spokane County. I've had that discussion, and it was a non-issue for them. And frankly, I don't know that it's something they were planning to use anyway. So,
gotcha.
The law stays in place on Spokane County side. If this bill were to pass, the bill is moved to the Senate Rules Committee. I don't think it's any secret that this issue will have difficulty in the House.
Okay.
If it does make it off the Senate floor.
What's the second one that's alive?
1288. That is Mueller's bill on the steel fabrication inspections. You may remember we had that discussion, boy, a month or so ago, and this is the one that drives that. The issue at hand here is making sure it's the local use of steel, essentially.
So, and where is that at?
It's in House Rules.
So it didn't get. So is it going to get sent to Appropes?
No. It shouldn't go. No, it shouldn't have to go to Appropes.
Even though it might have a fiscal impact associated with the cost of steel.
Yeah, I'm digging it back up, but I'll double check for you.
It reminds me of a ferry boat bill.
On the Senate side, they may end up sending it to Ways and Means. We'll see.
Let's see. No, it is in rules. I guess, Commissioner, the logic behind that was it had its hearing in a fiscal committee in the Transportation Committee.
That makes sense.
Commissioner Mielke, I heard you say something about ferries. There was a bill heard yesterday, incidentally, in the Senate Transportation Committee to talk about purchasing ferries from manufacturers outside the state of Washington.
Ooh, that'd be a reversal.
Well, that's Senator King's bill.
I was going to say about 50%.
So, I think he acknowledged in the hearing that this is for discussion purposes, that kind of stuff. But I heard you say that, so I thought you might want to hear that.
So, are the other three on that list? Are they dead then?
They are not dead until the end of the week, but I don't think they will move.
Okay.
And that's what I have for updates.
Okay.
So, just going forward, this is one of the things I'd like to do. I want to put together a list of issues, items in the budgets, things like that that we have an interest in, and then I will shop that to you all through Axel to kind of redistribute with our legislative delegation to just kind of recheck in and say, hey, this is the county's list. Legislators like lists, and they want to see the things that we still care about. And so there are items I want to put on there, and then certainly we get your approval on going forward. And then probably get a hold of some of your letterhead. You all don't necessarily need to sign it. I just want to have it on the county's letterhead when I'm handing it out to them.
Okay. Remind us what position we took on 5088 and 1288.
You took positions in favor of... Well, you didn't take a position on 1288. We had just talked about it, but you all took a position in favor of 5088.
So we support people's right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And 1288, we just stayed neutral?
From my memory, Commissioner, you all talked about it and decided to let that issue play out the way it played out.
Yeah.
How do you expect it's going to go? Any idea?
I don't know. I'd hate to speculate. I think Commissioner Stewart has said there's cost issues associated with that.
Yep.
And the legislature is sensitive to that. So we'll see how that plays out.
It reduces competition, right?
I think some would say that. You're getting me on dangerous water now. I think without a doubt, when you're putting some sideboards in place, just like the ferry issue we talked about, that it does have the potential to drive up costs. Having said that, I don't know enough about the steel market and how close steel is and how far away it isn't and those types of things. So
one of the largest steel companies in the world is Schnitzer Steel out of Portland. So inevitably, this comes from a perspective of Representative Mueller of trying to have local materials and jobs be part of the Columbia River Crossing project. So it comes from a place of wanting to support local business and local jobs. But regardless, there are costs associated with that have to be at least, you got to consider those kinds of things.
Sure,
so.
Name your price.
Right.
No competition.
And this probably tells you, too, who supports it. The people that testified in favor of the bill were Representative Mueller himself and then two gentlemen that represent the Iron Workers District Council of the Pacific Northwest.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that probably answers the question.
Before we let you go, was there anything in the way of M&O money on conservation futures? We haven't talked about that.
You've raised that issue before, Commissioner.
The WASAC revenue flexibility package, where's it at? Because that's where it sits. Remember the one that said in bad times we can redirect?
Oh, the original, yeah, we talked about that the first week. That bill never moved. But again, it would have impact to be alive until the end because of its budget impact.
So we'll keep working, and I'll ask the WASAC folks too. We have another meeting next week, and push them on that.
There's a good list too from the Association of Counties, and I think what we'll do, because we will be through cutoff next week if we have this phone call. WASAC's got a really quick, essentially bills that are good, bills that are bad, and bills that are on WASAC's legislative agenda. That once the dust settles here in the next 2 days, through the next cutoff, it'd be good to go through that list and review that. Because I think maybe we would like to include some of those, you know, with your direction, include some of those on the list I would submit to legislators as Clark County priorities along with the association.
I have another one for you.
Sure.
Treasurer Doug Lasher said that he was working with Wiley and a couple other representatives on legislation to do partial property tax payments. We weren't aware that that was necessary to do to allow it. Do you know if there's any bill up there that pertains to that?
I believe I know the bill you're talking about, Commissioner Mielke, but I would have to get back to you with the number and the status.
Okay.
I know that Mr. Lasher was working on a couple issues, and I don't want to confuse them by commenting, but is that something we're supportive of?
Well,
actually, or do we want to look at it further?
We were interested in allowing that to happen, but we weren't aware of necessary legislation to do it because we understood that there was three counties already doing it in the state, but they might be doing it a different way. We don't know.
Okay. I'll look for it.
Okay.
And get it to Axel.
Thank you. I have one other bill that if you could check into it for us. I got an email with regards to Senate Bill 5805. It's about the coal export projects, and the bill is supposedly the bill would take away local city or county government support from siting of these types of facilities. And not just coal facilities, but these types of facilities. Currently in state law, there is a requirement to get that they be supported by local jurisdictions, and it would take away that local control. But I don't know more about it. I have like a paragraph that was sent in an email by people who are on one side of the issue. So
I think you are correct, Commissioner. That is the coal export bill, but I'll have to read through the language to find the issue at hand.
Thank you. Yeah, and find the status, see if you can check in with a few people.
It is. It has made its way to the Rules Committee in mm-hmm. the Senate. There was no House version. There was a minority report, meaning there was opposition to it. It looks to be essentially a party line deal. So you can infer what the fate of this bill may be in the House.
Okay.
From that, but that's certainly not a guarantee. That's just an observation of the status of it right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else for Mike?
Not for me. I'm okay.
All right. Thanks for all your work, Mike.
Okay.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
All right.
Shoot.
Mr. Medora's going through the minutes.
Shoot.
We're good.
I didn't want to lose it.
I know. It was a bummer.
I'm good with the minutes.
Help. Good with the minutes.
Yeah, there was one little correction. Tom Han. The spelling of Tom Han. February 13th.
Okay.
So we're good on all three of those, 36 and 15?
Yeah, good.
Okay. Yay.
So and just for future, because we're recording, I was thinking about it, I'm like, all right, we're duplicating work and having Bill's already got a lot that we're putting on his plate as far as work goes. Since we're recording them and the full audio will be available for people, instead of having a transcribed minutes that summarizes what we say, and we have that, it's like, well, let's just have the audio available for people and then not worry about having to go through minutes.
If we post it.
That's the point. Yeah, if we
post it. So we're
going
to post it?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was the idea, is to actually post the audio.
But we have one more set for next week. I'm handing them out in advance.
Thank you, Bill.
That's for last week. You're welcome, Commissioner.
Look.
I mean, the Barry Gardner's
work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So I call Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter.
You want to do the CRC advisory?
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Is he coming in, or?
You come up?
Oh, the guy.
For your agenda item?
I forgot. They moved.
CRC advisory vote?
I wonder if they've officially.
You're welcome.
Right here.
Bye. He's on his way.
Did they officially, are they done moving?
Yeah. Yeah, they got a couple of boxes left, but they're, I'll go down and visit on the third floor.
Yeah,
suite 331. They have their paper signage.
Nice. Okay. Good.
Shall we go on, Commissioner?
Yeah, go ahead. And
with apologies, Chris Horn is actually dictating his memo on the detailed matrix and will be available next week.
Next week. Got it. We'll move that to next week.
Right.
Actually, already got some by email.
Yeah, I asked him to go back and revise it because what we got from him was kind of just a general primer on it, as opposed to here's what's required for each action we take, for a land use action, for a zoning action, for a resolution, blah, blah, blah. All of that. Because it's different for each one.
On item 3.3, I updated our retreat follow-up list, this is what it is. I'll continue to update this as we need to, and I do need your approval on the project list. I really need your approval on this so we can start working on this stuff, if you approve these projects. This is again from the retreat. This is the project list. This is what I really need your approval on. This is what you're doing.
These were things we weren't sure whether they were actually projects, but they were things that they were action items that we.
These are the projects in the big list.
Yeah. Wait. So before we go into the other list, let's think on this list. Were there any changes or updates or amendments that we wanted to make on this? Does this look reasonable to me?
We already found out about the conservation features.
We just did. Yeah. Good call.
We're hoping for more. A more defining definition of flexibility. Is that what you were doing?
On the conservation? No, he was just doing legislative. We've done that. Okay.
Never mind. Yeah, good call.
Well, you're doing what your monthly tax payments do, right?
And we're still waiting on that, too.
Yeah.
We'll leave that there. I have my study, my advisory committee.
We're done with the advisory committee.
I'm writing up my summary report right now.
Yeah, we'll get something back on
that. That'll be next week.
And buy local campaign. Did you do anything on that, Kelly?
Yeah.
You gave us the deal from Bellingham.
Oh, you did.
Correct.
Forgive me, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
You want me to go grab a copy for the meeting?
No, I need to review it so that we can talk about it.
Too much small print.
So I did find out the information from their program, and I left it with each of you.
Thank you.
Sure.
So
I'm a little skeptical at the return on investment on that. So the idea is good, and the question is, are we the appropriate ones to do that?
Yeah.
We just want to make sure we don't overinvest in the investigation.
Other than bringing the word to the sheriff's office, I'm sure seeing a lot of Oregon plates over there.
Right. I agree with that.
A lot of money out there.
Anything else on this sheet, and then we'll roll back.
We're good.
Still working
integration
on the integration.
Stolen, yeah.
Can we cross off the CTRAN and RTC?
Those are with the respective agencies. So, I mean, it's still on the list until it happens. Yeah. It's still on the list for us to kind of following up on. But it's with those agencies.
Security report.
I'm not quite done with that.
Okay.
And we do need that work session. We had the
Scheduled. We already got that.
Yeah, but we're moving it up because of the state of the city. Were your item coming up today?
Oh, okay. All right.
So we'll talk about that later.
And
the PO list here is in April.
17th, I believe.
Yeah, we were just looking at that here. So it's still there to be done.
Yes. So it's scheduled, but it still needs to be done. So put that. Don't cross it off.
No cross
on. Okay, on that one. What did you have, Commissioner?
Yeah, the last two on the page,
mm-hmm.
we could just strike the word questions there because it's really, they're just simply active projects that I'm investing just my time in so far.
Cool.
Shall we call that?
Individual more commissioner project, yeah. All right.
Okay, thank you. Bronson is here.
Bronson, thanks for coming up.
Hi. Sure.
What do you have for us today?
I did a memorandum, which I emailed to you two, three days ago. We talked last week about the advisory vote on CRC.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of that, you asked me to memorialize our discussion because Commissioner Mielke wasn't able to be present.
Exactly.
So I did that. It pretty much just puts in writing what I said to you last week about the restraints on our legal ability, what we can ask for a vote on, what is within your authority. At the end of it, there's a shot at a sample ballot question. So that's below the short arc.
And you got information, we had updated information.
Thank you. So since meeting last week, a question was, you know, I had a different opinion than Tom Wolfendale, who represents C-TRAN, on the issue of whether C-TRAN was obligated to seek voter approval of their high-capacity transit system plan and financial plan. Mm-hmm. And when we talked about this issue like 2 months ago, I said, well, we might seek an attorney general's opinion about that. And that's what Tom Wolfendale also told C-TRAN. Representative Moeller did send a letter to the attorney general's office asking for an opinion. I forwarded you that in an email. I think that the question he posed in this letter wasn't really the right question. And so I corresponded with the attorney general's office explaining some nuances of the issue and how I would have phrased the question.
Good.
Is he going to accept that as a more clear question?
I think you'd have to get Moeller to change his request to reflect
that. But as he's answering it, inevitably, I mean, they have the freedom to kind of to answer the question that's asked, but also answer the question, right?
Right. And the guy who was in charge of the opinions unit sent me back an email saying, thanks a lot for your email. That helps clarify what's going on here.
The updated information was more about like the dollar amount for advisory.
I don't want to talk about that.
When we talked last week, though, you were throwing $3,000 out at us as the potential cost, and you received updated information from elections.
Yeah. So there was some confusion on the election costs, and I had been told a few thousand, I think, is what I had said. Then Tim Lichtness got a hold of me and said, well, that's just the cost of printing the ballot, putting it on, you know, physically printing it on the ballots. But what would happen is if in November 2013, if the county were to submit this to be on the ballot, you would have to pay your proportionate share of the election cost.
The general election.
And that would be $75,000 in the ballpark, in the neighborhood of $75,000 to do that.
If it was the only thing on the ballot.
If it was the only county question on the ballot. Not the only thing.
Not the only thing.
The cost is more like $450. So the cost is divided among the jurisdictions who have things on the ballot. And now we don't have anything right now. If we were to put this on, our proportionate share of the cost would be $75,000. And if it was done in an even year where you have a lot of partisan offices
countywide,
because we pay so much of that election cost anyway, putting it on an even year November ballot would be a minimal increase in our cost.
Well, that's an easy solution. We just tell them to hold off until we can ask it next year, right?
Then go along with them, we'll do it.
Great.
They put on pause.
Can you imagine us saying, you know, we just can't afford to ask the voters?
So I expect that the city's initiative is going to be on the ballot, too. If it's an initiative process, do we pay for it or does the city pay for it?
That would be a city cost if it's a city.
Oh, I love it.
Well, the city already has elections, because I asked Lichtness that, because I was like, hey, you know, well, the city's going to have stuff. And they said, well, yeah, but the city already has city council elections. So it's kind of like if we were in an even year. So for them, it's a minimal cost increase for the city's share if they put something on for an initiative or, you know, ballot measure.
I'm liking it already. Hello, sharing.
Well, that won't. This year, it wouldn't take down our share.
Yeah, it would be two different questions.
Yeah.
We just put on more questions. Okay.
So I think that does cover everything.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for the information on that.
I had something like this on my list, but I'll wait until my turn.
Okay.
Bill, I had that restoration of our position in our office to Carol Axford's spot.
I haven't seen it in the form yet.
Okay.
Wait, you want to go ahead? Go ahead.
Okay.
Briefly.
So this is not a big deal. Next Tuesday, on your consent, we're going to have a staff report asking the restoration.
It wasn't in my batch that I just reviewed, so I don't know where it
is. It's right here. It's my batch.
Okay.
It's right here. So I can either do it
the 12th. I will
review
that, sir.
Do you want it next Tuesday?
Go ahead.
Okay.
No,
so
go ahead.
we're asking for the restoration of a spot that was vacated October last year when we had Carol Axford, a legal secretary of 50 years, retire.
50 years.
She
was amazing. Longest sitting county employee in history.
Oh, she was what we call a legal secretary two. When she left, we thought maybe we could reduce that position to a legal secretary one and save about $10,000. But we had to do this kind of analysis of what that position, what work they would do, and could we, under the contract with the union, have it be a legal secretary one. We decided we could, but in the interim, the budget office took the position out of the budget. So it's not in the budget as it exists today. That was a mistake to take that out because there was no intent to have that position go away. It was just being looked at for lowering the position.
So it's not in the budget, the approved budget.
Right. So it's not in the approved budget. We're going to ask that it be restored and part of the demand for this position is the public records requests that we're getting. Just the number and the complexity of them is killing our office.
You're going to reclassify the position and request next week?
You weren't successful in
reclassifying
the cost.
No, we did. We lowered it. It's going to save $10,000 over what it used to be.
So it's reclassified and filling is what you're asking.
Restoring it and reclassifying it to a legal secretary.
I got you. Okay.
So just
it's basically in budget, existing budget.
No, it's not. That's the problem. It was a mistakenly not put in.
That was your vacation.
So what's the cost?
Scrivener's error. The cost of the position is $70,000.
Okay.
Alright.
Total
cost. Thanks for
giving us the total cost.
That's a cheap
position. Giving that to Rebecca.
Alright.
Thank you, bro.
Thank you again.
Appreciate it. All right.
Don't go so far away next time.
Exactly. Let's roll back into project list so that we can get those. So what are you looking for from us, Bill?
I want approval of all the red so I can be assigning this stuff to get it done.
Okay.
These are the new things. Everything in black was what you said approved by you to carry over.
Yep.
The red was I never put it on a piece of paper. You've approved all this. I didn't have it on a piece of paper, and I just want to make sure you're okay with it.
All right. So the first one is expanding lien to other county departments. Do you get it on that board?
I'm going to go.
I'm just going to go in order.
I think I've already gone through these. I just added to it.
You just added. So you went through all of them, and you were good with everything in red?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you gone through all of them?
I'm going through now. I'm just looking where my name's at.
On my notes, since we're talking about this list, we talk about other departments. One of the things that we have as a real challenge is our health department. And I'd like to see if that lien program would work for them.
But that's what this does. It
right. And Commissioner Milkey is suggesting a specific department.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me expand on that while we're here. One of the things that we've discovered in healthcare is that while DSHS provides a lot of the different healthcare programs, etc., that the Veterans Assistance Center put a requirement on that they go to DSHS before coming to the Veterans Assistance Center, that we could do something like this, that they go to the DSHS before they come to the county health department. And I understand that the records are interchangeable, even though they fit underneath the Privacy Act. And it's just a thought that might work for them.
I talked to Vanessa about that. I don't think it's a project. We can just do that. If the commissioners approve that process, it's a process that we have to go through to approve.
Yeah. Okay.
And I can bring that information back.
We bought that. We found people using the system.
Right.
And they'd be over here getting one thing, and they'd go over here to ask for the same thing. Then they'd go to Portland and get the same thing, and so on. This would really help financially.
That's true. It will.
That's great.
It will.
Good. Okay. So, we'll get information back on that.
Yes.
We'll definitely look at doing health department as one of the departments for number one. Any of the red ones that you saw there, Commissioner Medora,
skipping down to number 17, knowing that my time to really be a good steward is limited, and that's something that my bandwidth has been low. It's like a worthwhile project. It would be how did somebody else really be able to do, have the time to babysit that?
That's fine. There shouldn't be too much that we have to do right now, but I have a pretty good history on the project, so you can put my name, on that.
Very good. Okay. Great. Thanks.
That's fine. Yeah. Plus, it gets me out there. There are deer and elk herds, and I do have a gun and a bow. I'm just saying. Somebody's got to go out there and make sure they don't have hoof rot. Exactly. And the only way you can really figure that out is if you take one down. So, you know.
That's what Fish and Wildlife's doing.
Exactly.
Remember I told you the difference between the hunter and the hunted?
Yeah, that's so true. All right, so any of the ones though, in the red, are we good on the ones in the red?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and you were good on all the ones on the that had that
I guess
these red ones?
I think I had.
And then you wanted to add one, but are you good with the ones that?
Everything on paper, yeah.
Okay, cool. So go for it. You had one you wanted to add?
I think we already have what I thought I was adding. That's number 18.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Parks Modified. Is that the same thing as what we're doing on all of our parks, parks and recreation right now?
Yes.
We're reviewing
yes,
that.
Yes.
And so exactly. That's part of that there.
Correct.
And I'll cross that one off.
Okay.
And then I have another one. Oh, let's see. Do you have a Railroad Quiet Zone on here?
Yeah, it's on.
It's on here. I didn't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in the black ones.
Yeah.
And... property inventory.
Yeah, there it is. Number 27 is the Railroad Quiet Zone.
I missed that.
What was the other one you were looking at?
Property inventory. We had
it should be on
the other
there.
Property came up the other day as a possible park. And then our request was to go back and show us the other park repairing areas and trails within a
there
mile
it is. Number
of that.
23. County property inventory surplus.
I missed that one too.
There's a lot on the list.
And there'll be more. Mm-hmm.
And we did the work session, so.
So that's all I have.
Okay. Thank
all right.
You.
So
for
project
that.
List, we're golden.
I will be reporting on progress.
Thank you, sir. All right. So that's that. We've moved that. Off. DES vacancies. Anita Largent, is she coming up?
She's prepared to come
all
up.
All right. Go ahead and get her here. Is she here or she's downstairs?
Downstairs.
Okay, so...
You want to come up? Thanks.
I've got one I can do if you
do
want.
It. No, wait a minute. We'll
okay.
You got new business? Any new business on the board?
He's got a quick one while we're waiting for Anita, so, and he was excited, so...
I'm not excited.
I could tell you
he's excited. Yeah, he's excited.
I met with a group of constituents. They've been hitting up the office for some relief on a sign issue they're having. This is a pretty large campus-style church. And the way their CUP reads, you get what I'm saying. The way it reads is they're only allowed two signs per frontage, and then our sign code, you guys are aware, it allows a maximum of 2 8x4 signs, and that we actually define it in square footage. They came in to talk with, they've been through the gamut with Chris Horn's actually written a legal memorandum to them saying what they can and can't have. Donna Goddard's worked with the church because what happens is like Rusty Grape or any of the other situations, they got a neighbor that's complaining about the size and scope of their signs. What they wanted me to ask the board is whether or not you were open to staff putting some time into looking at possibly rewording the sign code, amending the sign code in a way that would allow us to take, right now it doesn't allow us to take into account the size and scope of their parcel when we say what they can use for a sign. So what they're saying, their argument is this: we got a massive parcel with a massive campus. Why can't we have a sign bigger than 8x4 to advertise? You guys don't take into account the size and scale of our operation in the sign code, and we think that doesn't make good sense. So they wanted me to ask you if you're okay with staff looking into taking into account the size and scale of their lot when we say what size sign they can have.
I'd like to review the whole ordinance, sign ordinance. Because I think somehow we got into this monument type thing. We grandfathered in existing signs. Are they an existing sign or?
That's part of it too. They are. They bought a site from another church, and so there was some existing signs there. Then they got a conditional use permit, which said what they could and couldn't have. So we're actually, with this particular individual, we're working on both what's in their conditional use permit and in the sign code. But they specifically want us to look into amending the sign code to take into account the size of their parcel.
So they're not grandfathered in?
No.
They want to do more.
They're grandfathered into the
previous conditional use permit, which limited the size of their signs.
Well, they want more than that.
They want to go bigger.
So you okay with them looking at that?
Yeah, I'm
not sure.
Okay. Them back. Okay.
So I'll work with.
Yeah. So I assume that during this process, where we're considering that code enforcement is not threatening them with fines and that kind of thing. They just simply say, hold off a code enforcement because we're taking a look at this to make sure there's balance, right?
Now that you've okayed us to look at it, yes. They have been a code enforcement case because they had a complaint. They were asked to comply. They didn't necessarily comply, so they got a follow-up letter saying, you have X amount of days to comply or you're going to get fined. And then that's when they came to see us. But they have had a lot of county staff time. Chris has written a legal memo to them on their situation, and Donna spent a lot of time with them. And they're in a bad spot like all of our folks because they're just getting complained about. And one of their points is very valid. They're like, I can show you six signs on our road that are bigger than ours. Well, nobody's complaining about it.
That's fair, but the complaint side of it is the other side of it, which is there are neighbors.
That's
and
right.
So they're, you know, as they're looking at flexibility, there is also a reasonable expectation of folks living in the rural area that there aren't going to be big, bright, neon lit up signs ruining their quality of life in the rural area. So that's got to be part of the conversation.
Okay. So I'll talk with Don on code enforcement and then get somebody to work with me on looking at parcel size.
Perfect.
I have copies of the org chart.
No, I didn't hear.
And I do have copies of that.
All right,
yes. Perfect. Thanks for coming back up, Anita.
Commissioner, two-sided. These are the two positions. On January 9th, the Commissioner Dorff's direction, we took these two positions off of the recruitment website, off of our website in the recruitment section. You had asked that they be briefed, that Anita brief you on the possibility of do we continue to keep them off forever, or do we put them back on, or what would you like to do?
So first, the specific question that we had posed in that just as a starter is what is the mission critical nature of these positions such that they would need to be filled now versus waiting a little while and as we kind of shake out figure them out at that point. So what's the mission critical nature that makes you feel like they need to be done now?
Well, first let me pass out the org charts so that you can
see where they are.
Good. Also, don't see the dollar value things on these.
And I don't know if I have the exact scale.
I just bought the
paid scale, about 65,000.
We have three
each. Two.
Well, actually, there are three positions. That was going to be the first thing that I
mentioned. Is that a new one? Did we add a new one recently?
When we did the budget and we put through the forms for the vacancy review committee, there were three sustainability specialists that were put in.
And the vacancy review committee then narrowed it to two.
No, they approved the three, but we advertised for two, with the thinking that we would post the second one later and that it would be an internal recruitment.
The second or the third
one? Or the third one, I'm sorry.
So you're holding that?
So we're holding that.
Okay.
But in terms of the critical mission, I mean, obviously two of them are
where
with...
Where are they first? Sorry.
Okay. The, on the chart, there's two under resource policy and planning. They're the two last ones that are... They're actually shaded, but they're shaded very lightly. So those are two with the Clean Water Program. And then under the Sustainability Outreach, the Solid Waste Program, which is the third column over from the left, and it's the third up from the bottom.
Gray shaded. Yeah.
That's the one for the Solid Waste Program. Now, the two with the Clean Water Program, they were actually reclassified from other positions and reclassified for the 13-14 budget. And they're actually reclassified from, like program manager position and then a what was the other position?
One of them is actually reclassified. One of them's new.
Okay. But they're more boots on the ground type positions. And with all three of these positions, it's more geared towards technical assistance to the public and to residents, businesses, neighborhood associations, those kind of things. I think you all know Carrie Armstrong, so one of them is kind of cloning Carrie Armstrong to be out and working with the public. One for the Clean Water Program is geared toward the MPDS permit to help actually identify which areas we're in compliance with, and this is for the new permit coming up. And it's taking some of those responsibilities from a higher level person and kind of making it more boots on the ground work. The one in the solid waste program is working on the green business team. Obviously, you're familiar with that. We just had our event, and we now have 30 businesses through that program, so we're ready to start the recruitment for the next class, so to speak.
And that's been a great benefit for businesses.
It's been great. We're really, like, really happy with that. The position also works with our organics collection, so it's helping to organize food waste collections with the pilot businesses and the schools in the region.
And that funding all for that position comes from the solid waste fund?
That's all solid waste fund, and then the clean water positions are the clean water fund, so there's no general fund.
I see Terry Armstrong.
Uh-huh.
Is she still with us?
Yes.
One of them is
to help Carrie.
Well, you said it was his position.
To clone him.
To clone him. We would definitely like to clone him, actually.
I was under the impression that the two openings that was previously being asked for was primarily education outreach.
Well, and I think that's kind of it's a misnomer. We're sustainability and outreach, but when it comes down to what we actually do, we're out doing technical assistance with groups and neighborhoods and people. So,
is that the same as code enforcement?
It's information without the teeth.
It's the carrot, not the stick.
Yeah, it's the carrot.
I like the carrot.
There you go.
Questions for the position?
How much is from the general fund is feeding into this department that's not covered by some kind of grant?
Well, the two programs you're talking about, the clean water program and the solid waste program.
The whole department.
Some of enhancement and permitting are general fund.
Any idea that we have? It'd be good to know budget wise what it takes to sustain this department.
Mm-hmm.
And what the trend has been over time, so that we can see where are we.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
all of WSU extension.
Yeah.
That's required by law.
Actually, it would be also good to know what is actually what's required by law, and the degree of requirement is somewhat subjective.
Sure.
So at least to say what is the bare minimum, so that we know at least what the boundaries are.
Right. And for the clean water program, obviously, we're mandated by the MPDS permit. For the solid waste program, it's mandated by RCWs. And the solid waste program is also a regional program. So we work in, we have interlocal agreements with all the municipalities. And so our services that we provide and our technical assistance is also provided for the municipalities. We also have an ecology grant that helps us fund.
It'd be good to know of those grants, what are they funding, and what if they're 100% grants, or if there's some grants that require some general fund contribution.
Have you done the orientation with the ES?
I need to go through that again.
That'd be good. Maybe that'd be part of that.
Exactly. But in terms of the grant for the solid waste program, there is no general fund monies that support that.
So actually, the financial aspects of this would be very helpful to know, rather than just a verbal bill, to have an idea as to where's it going, what's the pie shape look like, what's the I'm not able to separate out the degree of that we're doing compared to what's mandated. So they could mandate us to do something, and to comply with a law, it might cost $1 million, but we're very aggressive, so we're doing $10 million. I don't know where that, to separate that out.
I think, if I understand, the program is mandated, mm-hmm. Not the positions. Is that correct? We make up our own positions to fulfill the requirements.
The outcome is mandated, yes.
be clear on the clean water, on the positions in the clean water program, these are doing purely mandated activities. And I think, Commissioner, if your question is, you know, more back it up at the program level, and let's say at the program level, what are we doing that's mandated and what are we doing that's not mandated, and how do those financials play into these vacant positions? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can lay that out. But these particular activities are, for in clean water, are purely compliance activities. Mm-hmm. They're directing us, they're directing work towards our increasing mandates, coordinating all the work that we do, tracking all the records, tracking everything that we do.
According to the federal government, we're not doing
it. We have a 50-page spreadsheet that we have to fill out at the end of every year to send to the Department of Ecology to show our compliance. That's not something we can change. We currently have a program manager doing that because we've never had staff support just these purely compliance activities. That's what we're trying to do with these positions.
And the 50-page report is coming up, by the way. We'll see that on.
Do we have a ballpark idea what the total budget is for this department?
Yes, I do. You can have the handout.
So we were looking for more information. For the department, and Bill was going to talk to the department to get more input from you as to the direction the agency was.
Well, that was on my list to do today.
I didn't want to get involved there, but it can make a difference here.
I understand.
When I think that
we're trying to get. I'll just need to talk to them first.
Yeah. I'm curious. I did spend about 2 hours with Kevin Gray in November. Mm-hmm. And at the time, he mentioned that for every 2,500 square feet of county road, we were paying $33 into this department, and that doubled to $66 in this current budget. Do you know if that'd be accurate?
What's that for?
Road funds contribution.
Yeah, because that was a stopgap measure to save the fund, because we're in litigation on that we're not doing a good enough job. The commissioners have consistently said you're not going to change the fund. One of the things we have to come before
not
you.
Not going to change the fee.
Not going to change the fee that feeds the fund, that provides for the program. And so that's one of the critical capital issues that we're going to have to deal with in 2014.
We
doubled the fee because that they
from road
they
fund. From the road, from road fund. Not of the citizens.
Not of the citizens. Right.
The road fund pays because they put down surface. Mm-hmm. So they agreed to pay up front. The commissioners approved that in the budget to pay up front to at least get us through 2013 and to face 2014. We have a critical issue to face.
Because of the
but
fee,
yes, it doubled.
And we heard that in Olympia. I think it's important to bring that perspective in. A lot of times you have a low stormwater fee. The stormwater fee in Clark County is very low comparatively, and that was something we had to battle and fend off when we were in Olympia. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying Seattle's is like $156 or something.
Camas's is a lot higher.
So ours is $33 bucks or something. So we get that pushed back at us as a you're not collecting as much as you could or should to properly implement the program.
And so when Bill says suing us, so,
so when Bill says the road fund was a stopgap, that's what it was. Because the cost of the permit, the cost of implementing the permit relation to our stormwater fee.
Well, okay. I would like to wait until after you had your conversation with the department.
Right.
We're looking for direction from you. And and Bill has more in depth of what we're doing, what we think we're doing, and what we don't know, I should say.
I will say that the concerns I'm hearing and the concerns I would have is in that we need to have this brought back to us relatively
right away,
promptly, because mm-hmm. if at least two of these positions are doing compliance activities associated with our permit, we cannot afford another screw up on our permit. We literally financially
money
can't.
No objective.
We have to do our compliance activities, and so if these positions are specifically for that, my request is please, we need to bring these back promptly, so that, I mean, these are clean water funded activities that have to be done for compliance purposes with state and federal law. So I'm hearing that concern from staff, and I just want to relay that to the board.
And that's the contact, Commissioner, that Commissioner Milky is talking about. Basically on my list, what it was to, what do you want me to do, what are the next steps to the Department of Environmental Services?
Understood.
We need to fill the position of the director. She's working interim. This is part of that. You know, I just need your guidance, and do you want me to recruit for the director position? The employees kind of want to know what their status is and what are you going to do with the department, if anything, and that's what I need to know.
When I agreed with Commissioner Milky, I agree with him asking Seth, you know, what do you see as the, you know, what's working, what's not, how we might move forward on structure is great. That could be a bigger conversation than having compliance specialists in there doing the work that, regardless of what structure you choose,
totally agree.
We still have a spreadsheet to fill out. You know, we still have all of the compliance work that is required by state and federal law. So
right,
no matter what you guys decide, we have requirements that have to be filled, and these positions help do the work for that. So my push is we need to get guidance on these soon. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm. While we were talking about reorganization of this department?
Well, we're waiting for your department to educate us.
On what's working well with the organization?
What was working,
you might,
what was it? Are we going the right direction? Can we go a better direction?
I'll brief them.
Okay.
Good. Work. So, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we agree with that. Like, we're all in agreement. Yeah, have that conversation.
I support the flexibility of that you would recommend when it comes to focusing, maybe shifting priorities, so that you said if there's some areas where we're not doing very well and other areas where we're doing pretty well, that maybe you could shift priorities so that you can effectively cover those things, so that we're not liable for not complying with something, but there's other areas where we can kind of fill the gap. Because I see it's a lot of money, $44 million for this department, and I want to make sure that we can be as smart as we can in that.
It's like two or three departments combined, maybe four.
And very, very strict rules on what you can spend the money for. That's
right.
The key.
Yeah,
you can't overlap
right,
this money.
Right. So we want to make sure that we're not compromising compliance. But
or environmental quality, because
right,
this isn't just about compliance.
Yeah.
I mean, the rules, and I get annoyed, not at the local level, I get annoyed with the state and federal level that it's about the rules and not the results. And so certainly we have to comply with the state and federal rules, but what we, at least for myself, what we should be focused on is providing good results. So
and
obviously compliance is a part.
That's what kind of tweaked me was the fact that the things we've been doing are good.
I know.
But it wasn't good enough for the state.
Yep. All right.
So how do we get that direction?
Thank you for the information on that. I appreciate it.
And we will.
Bill will be talking with you guys, and we'll be talking with you guys, get more information. All right. So we have DES, new business. I just had a couple of things. We need to get. First of all, we need to get movement figured out. What are our next movements as far as the parks issues go? We had a work session. We tasked staff to. We had several items that we tasked them with. There is still, and we talked about it again at the dais yesterday, about, you know, staff's doing the work to figure out what are the efficiencies, you know, where's the money that they can save. There's two parts to that equation, at least from the majority. Commissioner Medora is still interested in moving forward with kind of the getting rid of the parking fees for parks. So I kind of wanted to get a sense of where we're at. I also had a chance to talk with one of the co-chairs of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission who came in and talked with me. One of the things that they were tasked with doing, that everybody was, at the first work session that we had was there was a desire to have city council and the board get together and talk about, like, how we would move forward on it. There's also a legal responsibility in the MOU that whatever amendments we make on the agreement, we have to agree to, and the city council has to agree to. So his idea was to have a PRAC, Parks and Recreation Advisory Council Commission, I forget what, joint workshop soon to discuss, all right, how are we going to reform this agreement so that the county can get the efficiencies that they need and save the money that they need, and that we can also understand the potential implications of whether it be the reduction in money spent or service given, or taking away the parking fees, you know, what are the benefits we could receive from that? What are the, you know, potential costs? So that was something that, with a very specific agenda, that was suggested to me. Obviously, you know, we want to get information and move, and I know that, you know, you're wanting to move, get going on it. I get that. So from my perspective, I was just looking at, all right, can we set a path in motion to at least get the information from the staff that, you know, you talked about and that we asked about, get that back, set it, and then set a process for taking action.
And I've gotten mixed messages from PRAC members. Mm-hmm. And so I'm waiting to hear more from the consultant. I also feel a big pushback for eliminating the fees. I think it's because of the budget that they're trying to stay with. But I'm not sure if we're going to just have that one little discussion or whether we're going to go off on our own. So I'd like to have move along as fast as we can, but I'd like to hear from that consultant again, because they never shared enough pros and cons with us to make a good decision. And I'm afraid that because of the differences in the park fees, mm-hmm. they may not agree anyway. And then we have to do the 180-day notification as to what we're going to force forward.
So next steps, you would like to get the information back from staff and from the consultant on the specifics associated with cost savings?
Yeah.
Or what else?
Where they were coming from. They said some things weren't working and some things were.
But they didn't identify very
much. I thought the staff was paid extremely high, that we need to have some say-so in that if we're going to be funding it. So I don't know how soon we can get that consulting firm back to give us some better guidance.
So can we set a work? Is you thinking work session?
It's their consultant. They said the end of March.
That's when we could get together with them.
That's when they're coming back with their report.
Okay. So I'm good with moving forward with a work session on this. I don't think that we talked about moving forward on a hearing to get rid of the parking fees, and a couple of things were raised to me by citizens that were great points. One of them being, Portland residents use our regional parks extensively during the summer months.
That was big. I didn't think about it.
I mean, between 20% and 30% of the license plates that they see out there are Oregon plates. These are people who don't pay taxes in Washington State. They don't pay sales tax. They don't pay property tax. They don't pay any fees. So if they don't pay a parking fee, they are using our resources that our citizens are paying for with no reimbursement of that. So that was a good point that was raised to me. I'm like, yeah, that I don't like the idea of giving them a free ride in our parks when they're using them and they are contributing to the maintenance and operation that's necessary that we're all paying for.
So it's my understanding, if we decide to remove park fees, that can't be implemented until next year because of the finances?
No. That was the staff recommendation. And that was because of all the passes that have already been sold.
Oh, right.
So that was why. That was why for that. And then the second thing that was raised to me, and it's something that we need to think about, that, again, I thought was a good point, was we have citizens in the unincorporated urban area that use Furstenberg, right? Furstenberg Community Center that's in Vancouver. And that use Marshall
like
Center.
City park.
It's a city recreation center, but it's open to everybody, right? It is. I just ran out of card here.
Maybe we
talk fast.
Yeah, exactly. It's being recorded.
Well, I'm gonna go. Excuse
so, me. Right. Our 180 day out would be June 1st.
Yeah, exactly. So if we had a work session at the end of March, we'd still have plenty of time between then and June 1 to make a decision.
Yeah, I'm hearing maybe they don't like the park reduction, and they didn't like there was plan 1, 2, and 3, I think Commissioner Mador liked number one.
Mm-hmm.
I like number two. I didn't know where you were.
Yeah, I like two. I like two. Finding the savings.
Three.
I thought you wanted three.
No. I like the idea of having savings and then using that savings to. I mean, if the underlying form won't well, wait to get
but
back.
But see, yeah. The difference between what was number one? Was that to avoid the whole thing?
Three.
Was that number three?
Well, yeah, but that one was doing away with the contract and using that savings. Number one was having the general fund pay for it.
And if we couldn't get agreement on where we wanted to go, then we're back to number three. Then we have to reorganize.
Right.
And then
and
we would have to wait.
That's one thing.
But what we were talking about, David, was June 1st would be the deadline for us to make a decision.
On the interlocal agreement.
In the 180-day opposition. So if we receive opposition enough to disagree, then we have to wait for the 180 days, and that deadline is June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the option one, two, and three.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of leaning towards option number two. You like option number one. And number three is that if they didn't like the whole thing, then Pete Capel would have to set up to do the whole thing if we threw the whole thing out the window and started all over, and we have that date of the 180 days. So, and I think that decision would be where we are between those three options.
So right.
I'm not sure where you were on other than just the fees. What did you think about the rest of the plan for what we've learned?
It's laid out here. This is basically option three. And
three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's doing away with the whole thing, right?
Yeah, it's
actually doing it ourselves.
It's doing it in two steps. The first step is to remove the fees this year. When we'd like to have the fees removed by April 1st. And then we have time to sort this out when it comes to the interlocal agreement so that we can have plenty of time to give notice and then basically become independent free on January 1st of 2014.
So, but what if they don't agree on removing the fees? Then we have to wait 180 days to do it.
They have nothing to say about the fees.
Yeah,
the city doesn't have anything to say about the fees.
Oh, I thought any major changes they had to agree.
It's not part of the agreement. That's not part of the interlocal.
Yeah. Oh. So there are two separate units.
Okay, I learned something already.
Which I really like because it keeps it simple.
Yeah.
We can focus on the fees just simply as a separate unit, and we have our own time frame and our own freedom to be able to do that.
And where would the money come from?
Well, that's what we have here. For the remainder of this year, we're talking about the difference of $200,000 out of our general fund. What do we have?
So out of general fund.
Out of general fund.
Yeah.
For this year.
Well, yeah. I'm paying for my fare.
Yeah.
I'm not. Up.
Hold on. And next year we actually save. So here's the plan here.
Here's your plan.
Yeah. This is my plan. Mm-hmm. Eliminate the parking fees effective April 1st. Elective refund, in other words, those people who want to be able to come back and say, I already paid for my pass, I want to be able to prorated refund, they can come back if they want to be able to do that on a person-by-person basis. So that would be the first step, okay? And so that basically is a separate from the rest of it here. The second step, notify the City of Vancouver that we'll be restructuring the agreement effective January 1st, 2014. So we meet the legal requirement, okay? The new agreement would be going it alone for reservations, planning, technical support, operations, scheduling, special use permits, capital repairs, customer service, and oversight of the on-site.
You heard staff talk about that and the inefficiencies, not just for the cost, but also for our citizens as far as going it alone for reservations and all of that piece, right?
Well, when it comes to the efficiency or the cost, we are paying $880,000.
That's for a lot of different things. That's don't lump it all together. I mean, specifically, the staff specifically said that would be more difficult for our citizens.
There are smarter ways to do that. For instance, Here's the thing. Vancouver and the city of Vancouver operates completely different than we do. Different set of priorities. They want this $167,000 parks director. We don't need that. So if we move away from that, we'd rather put our care directly into the parks.
Okay, so let me address that real quick for you. So the first thing is, I absolutely agree with you that is something, and that was in option two, was looking at reducing our costs by reducing our contribution to an executive director and those aspects, and planning aspects and some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Yeah, it was planning, the planning components, and then there was an operations manager or something like that that we paid less.
So we bring that up, hold back $100,000.
Yeah, but so exactly. So our $100,000 net savings. But as far as the, you know, we do things completely differently. And the reason I stopped is because what I was trying to say when you left the room to get a new card was that one of the other things that's been raised, and it is absolutely true, is that many of our citizens use facilities in the city who don't live in the city, and many city residents use facilities in the county that are and vice versa. And if you look at it and you look at our parks and recreation facilities, we don't have a recreation facility in the county. We don't have an indoor recreation facility for families that need it in the county. So they go to Furstenberg, they go to Marshall, they go to those places,
and they pay the city to do that.
And they pay the city to do that. However, if cuts are going to need to be made at the city level, we look at it from a budget, like this is our budget and this is their budget. But if they end up having to make cuts, the cuts they've already been making are to recreation services. And the service reductions that they've been making are to recreation services that our citizens use. The second piece of that is that there was a surcharge charged to non-city residents at those facilities before. And it was contemplated as part of, if we're going to have to cut more, then maybe we should charge people who don't live in the city more to use those recreation facilities. That is something that will likely be discussed as part of the city's conversation of parks and recreation that affects our citizens. People who, you know, you're talking about a $3 parking fee and that people can't pay that. Well, the increase in being able to, you know, in the cost to take your family to Furstenberg could be just as debilitating, especially during this time of the year where they're not going to Frenchman's Bar. I mean, you can go out there right now. There's nobody there. No one's going out there. No one's going to, I mean, there's very few people going to Louisville during the winter. They're all at Furstenberg and at Marshall Center because that's where it's indoors, and so that's where they take their families. So there's a potential cost that will be shifted to our citizens that will end up not getting to the underlying form of what I thought you were trying to accomplish, was removing the barrier to parks for those who can't afford it. I mean, I thought that was the bottom line, was saying, look, there are people who that $3 entrance fee, that $3 parking fee, is a barrier to them, you know, recreating with their families. And I totally agree getting rid of that.
Fishing for food.
Yeah, well, there's that too. I mean, for the boat launches, absolutely. And I totally agree with that. But so those were two, that was an unforeseen consequence that was brought up to me by a citizen, by someone who lives in Salmon Creek, who said, I take my family to Furstenberg, and I already can hardly afford to go to Furstenberg now, and if they cut service hours or if they end up charging me more, I'm not going to be able to take my family there. And that's where we go in the winter. So it's something to think about as we're talking about the bigger issue of how we separate off and that they're doing things differently. Our citizens don't know the difference. Our citizens shouldn't have to know the difference. Our citizens need the service.
What you're arguing for is the county paying the city, supplementing the city parks budget, just simply, if that's what we're doing, then just simply let that be a separate supplemental.
It's not. You're not hearing me. What I'm saying is that we were told very clearly that alternative three, which is what you're proposing in this go it alone, would be the long term of what you're proposing, that go it alone, that there will be service reductions necessary as part of that. Those service reductions, you may not think they are county service reductions. They will be. They will be reductions to service for our citizens. That's what I'm saying.
I think you're complicating things. We're not subsidizing, we shouldn't be subsidizing the city.
We're not.
With county funds.
That's not the point.
Basically,
you're missing my point. That's okay, though. You're just missing it.
Well, to me, that's what it translates to, because it's...
Well, don't translate it. Hear my words. Don't put your filter on top of it. Just hear it. And then...
Let's have a two-way conversation.
We are.
Okay. I let you speak.
Oh, did you? Thank you, David. You let me speak? Keep going.
Be nice.
I'm trying.
Be nice. We are paying for services that we are not receiving.
That's not true. That's not true. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is that who's we? That's let's
the
get
county.
To that.
We represent
the county. The county body or the county citizens?
The county budget.
The county budget. Is the county budget the county representing the county citizens?
In other words, you don't...
Or is it just ours?
You think we're getting everything that we're paying for?
I think that we can be more efficient in it. That's why I said to you, two steps removed, said, absolutely, there are things that we cannot pay for that I don't think that we need to pay for. My concern is when you start digging in to the level that it costs service that serves our citizens, county citizens. Because that's my point, is that we're looking at it from this perspective of county budget. But the county, this is the purpose of what we're doing here, is about service to our citizens.
You know, we don't have to work out all the details of this now.
Right.
What we're really trying to do here is put this onto a map that will allow us to have this discussion in public,
mm-hmm.
and for us to be able to weigh the merits and the really the simplicity at this point. I'd like to be able to keep them separate. We're talking about park fees, and we have the freedom to be able to address park fees all by themselves. Okay. And we can take the next step to correct a dysfunctional agreement with the city. Okay? So that's what this is about. In other words, let's move forward to have this discussion in public, right, where everybody can participate.
So
okay?
That's
what I'm after here.
Understood.
And move it on a time frame that will allow us to be able to accomplish, at least have a shot at accomplishing this goal of removing these fees by April 1st.
So, and for me, I am not willing to spend general fund dollars so Portlanders get into parks free, and those who can afford the $3 aren't. I'm not willing to spend the general fund as a personal piggy bank to make, to actually fulfill campaign promises. Okay. So for me, putting the general fund at risk is not an option.
Okay.
That's why
I
had said, hey, I'm not okay with us moving to hearing on that simple piece of it. I'm 100% for finding savings that we can use to get rid of fees for some, for those who it is a barrier to entrance. I'm 100% with that. And I would like to, that's for me, I'd like to work toward that to get kind of part way, to get to something that gets you to, again, I thought the underlying form was, hey, this is a barrier to entrance to, in bad economic times, people are trying to get to the parks, and this is a barrier to that.
Yeah.
And that's, I'm with that, and I would love to help with that piece of it.
Okay.
It's just the, putting the general fund at risk for, so the Portlanders get a free ride and that others who aren't asking for the $3 off, get it. I'm like, but I'm with you as far as finding savings to be able to put into getting rid of some of those fees.
Okay, well,
that's what I'm trying to get to.
Okay, well, I understand. And when it comes to removing the fees, you look at why they were put there in the first place. It wasn't to keep Portlanders out of our parks. It was simply a cost savings. So if we look back and say it was a cost savings process, that's why it put on, and that's the question we ought to ask for removing them. Keep it simple.
And that's my point, is that those people who go into the parks contribute to the operation and maintenance that is necessary to keep those parks in the shape that our citizens require.
So
if you're contributing to the degradation of that park, then in some form or fashion, you should contribute to the upkeep of that park.
So I understand your argument for fees. Okay. So that's the beauty of diversity here. We have a different opinion. I would like the fees to go away because I believe that the community has a better quality of life when that people who need parks access, they're not kept on.
That's very general.
So I'm asking for a second vote to put this on the public hearing agenda.
I hear you.
So that we can have the discussion out there.
There was an option two.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it referred to, going from 60-40 to 50-50.
Yeah, it saves $100,000.
And is there an option that we could go 40-60 and we remove 200,000?
The options that we got were 100, then there was one that gets you the full amount. What we were told by staff was if you go past that option 2, that's when you start digging into service levels. That's what they told us.
The other statement is the amount that we would give up, I don't think it included reservations for covered areas.
Not in option 2. Option 3 would be that would start splitting that off.
No, I'm saying the total cost of
we're doing it most expensive day right now. We have two full-time people that are answering the phone. There's no automation to it.
I'm
not talking about that.
I'm talking about
those are the apps.
We collect how much money? 200, 300,
325.
That's gross.
Right.
So I assume, and this is specified differently, that includes reservations for the shelters. So. We still are going to do that. We're still
going to
charge for reservations to reserve the shelter.
It's an option. If they don't reserve it, they can use it first come, first served. But
right.
If you do have it, then it's
right.
Reserved for you. And
it gives you for your event or your function. And so, therefore, we're not going to lose $325,000.
I thought that it didn't include the shelter reservations, but I'm not. But I don't.
That does not include the shelter.
Yeah, it does not. It's the $325 is just
right?
The parking fees. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, the shelter reservation stuff was above and beyond.
We pay Vancouver for that.
So in any case,
we pay their employee to do that.
Step 2 requires a renegotiation of
$325,000 net profit.
No, it's not.
It's
it provides us the ability to do that. It costs us $200,000 to what Pete wants to do that. It costs us about $200,000 to hire them back to as our own employees or to contract with the city.
Well, that was option 3 or something.
It is an option 3.
Okay, so we could be here all day. So the question is, do you want to move forward with a public hearing to get rid of parking fees and use the general fund to cover it?
I'm thinking... if I remove $200,000,
only for this year.
Yeah.
Just for the remainder of this year.
Yeah, that's mostly.
And
sure.
We can, and we'll have the savings next year.
I'm thinking to get to do the offset because we have to pull the balance out of our general fund, and our general fund has got some other liabilities on top of it right now. So if we were to pull $200,000 instead of $100,000, that might be doable, but then that would be a lot easier to back up from the general fund. But I need more information to do that.
Well, that's part of that process. That if we get this on the agenda, then we can have the budget office give us their input. We can have the public. The city council, whoever wants to come participate in that process, this opens the door and brings that discussion out in public.
We've been having the discussion in public in work sessions at the dais in this room a couple of times. So the discussion's already occurring and the information is there and can be generated. Going to a public hearing means you have a proposal that you are bringing to the public that you are going to try to vote on. That's what a public hearing is for. It's not a work session.
Yep.
And if we don't have that information, we're back stalemated or not making a good decision, or making a decision without having all the information.
And the information is necessary. We welcome the information.
Yeah.
We got to get it. It's not going to happen unless we schedule it to happen.
Okay.
That's part of the process.
So we schedule the information to be there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not
mm-hmm.
there,
right.
We
this
put
is
it off.
Part of this, you look at all the projects we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some major projects to deal with here. And we've got permits, we've got a jobs crisis on our hand, we've got this transportation project in front of us, we have a lot of major things to do. And we're talking about $225,000 here, which is a rounding error on our budget. And the time that was...
Really? Because you go into every job description of everybody and you've been picking apart $5,000 details out of our budget. Now $225 is a rounding error?
That's a little different than how you deal with other things. That's why
Right.
I want our budget office to participate and give us perspective on this. That's a very important point, because so if the argument against this is we can't afford it, or somehow we're being irresponsible, then have the welcome the budget office to present to us what the significance of this.
Well, that's an idea, but I think they're going to show us that we don't have enough in the general fund to pay for it. If we take it out of our reserves are going to drop farther for the year 2016 than what they're already predicted to go, which is a third of what they should be.
You should involve the sheriff's office too, because I'm sure they could find a way to spend $225,000 for public safety. I mean,
I'm just saying,
anytime you throw $225 out and say it's a rounding error, there are a lot of departments, including other elected officials, that'll come out and correct that.
If we can have all the information we need to make a decision, then it has to be there. But if it's not there, it could be put off again.
And so that's why I think we're stringing in an at here.
So when do
we have? We already know that we can save $100,000 just without cutting services, taking this second step.
We should do that.
No, we still have to backfill the $100,000. From the general fund.
No. So he's saying on the plan, if we were to lower it, change the MOU a little bit, amend it a little bit, that we could save $100,000. That's what he said.
And we already know it's costing us.
So we're still upside down for two.
You're looking at the gross revenue versus the net. The net is closer to $100,000.
Well, but you're assuming that you're going to have volunteers doing a lot of the work to promote safety and to actually be at the gates. I mean, that was part of your plan, was to actually have volunteers doing that, wasn't it?
Break it down into steps. You can save $100,000 here.
Right.
All right. And we know that it costs us about $90,000 to collect.
It's not just to collect. They do more than just collect at the gates. I mean, they provide safety. They actually do rounds. They do work that goes beyond just taking it.
I think we're talking about still having them. We're talking about still having paid staff there.
Then you wouldn't save the 90.
At the front gate.
No,
they're going to be roaming.
That's where, we're trying to figure this out on our own. Staff can inform us.
But you're right. You're wanting the general fund to write a check that you'll put money in the bank later to cover. And I again will say, using the general fund as a credit card for details to be generated later is not an appropriate way to be good stewards of the public's funds. That is not. It doesn't match the what we said before.
You're saying we're going to save another $90,000 if we don't hire the summer help.
No, I'm saying that right now it costs money to collect. There's processing, there's accounting, there's all kinds of things that has to happen in order for us to collect that $325,000.
And I think that was the $90,000 for the people at gate.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in other words, a business, if they're going to cash a $3 check, it normally costs more than $3 to cash that check. Yeah. Okay, we're cashing $3 checks.
I think we're still going to have the people. We're just not going to have them at the front gate.
There'll be... all of this information that we can base our decision on can be presented by staff if we invite them in and say, help us to understand what are the consequences, what are the costs, what are the pluses and minuses of this.
So would that be another work session instead of a hearing?
If we separate this out into two separate issues, I see this as very simple.
What are the two issues?
Well, we got the interlocal agreement
fees and use
one.
The general fund.
We got the interlocal agreement as one. That's step two. Step one.
That's part of it. The interlocal agreement is part of whatever.
Yes,
we do.
The interlocal agreement is a cost savings for us. It allows us to be smarter on parks.
It's also part of how we deliver those services.
I would really like to have a work session instead of using our hearing for a work session, because we're going to end up in a 2-hour discussion.
And the citizens aren't going to know
on one agenda item.
Well, my worry, and I expressed it last week, was the citizens won't even know what they're going to be testifying on, because we'll be baking the cake at the dais in a hearing as opposed to actually having a concept.
Then let's schedule a work session as soon as possible.
Next week? You're going one-on-one?
You got silly permits next week and one other thing. Can't remember what. What's that?
Maybe.
Well,
maybe Thursday or Wednesday afternoon.
Get a budget office.
Generally speaking, you know, to give staff the appropriate time to get all the information together, you go 2 weeks out. I mean, if you want to actually get all the information.
Well, I'm trying to reach a compromise with David by saying.
He said, all right.
You get silly permits at 10, and we, since it's a Wednesday after the first Tuesday, and we have to start at 10, we're only going to give 15-minute break in between. So we have Yakult comp plan proposal at 11.
What does work?
Sir?
What does work for
2 weeks out?
We can do it on Tuesday, too.
What do you have on the 13th?
What Thursday?
The lean process is at 10, but you're gone, right?
Thursday is just about every Thursday during the session. I'm either at WASAC or in Public Works Board.
Aren't you gone on the 13th?
Friday.
Why?
Oh, you're gone.
She said you're gone one of these days.
I might be on the 13th.
I don't know. March 20th, we got surface mining overlay and 119th and 72nd Avenue, but that's the Commissioner Stewart asked me to bring up today, the fact that that's the city.
I can be there on the 13th. It's the Parade of Homes groundbreaking.
Yeah,
That's all that's going on. They had asked us to speak briefly at it, but that's...
So I can move the 13th? We can do the 13th.
That's 2 weeks out.
13th, right.
3 weeks out.
Two
and a half.
It's two. Today's Wednesday.
With the goal, how many we've got work sessions, we've got public hearings, how much time have we already got burned into this thing to try to end up talking about a very small amount of money?
No, it's not. It's the amount of money we don't have, and we're only saving $100,000, and we still have staff that we have to pay. Because we recognize the presence has to be there, and you can't do it all by volunteers. Volunteers are in that group of people. So the advantage of waiting, and maybe in 2 weeks, maybe we can get more information from the consultant to give us some more information. Because I'm inclined to, if we see the need to back out, that would be the time to say, okay, now we have enough information to go to phase three, and right now we'll go ahead and pick up and make the decision.
Okay. All right. So we have direction for 2 weeks from now. Any last direction as far as what we need for that?
The staff or the consultant isn't going to. They're not scheduled to deliver their report until the 30th of March.
Right.
Is that going to make any difference to
our
decision?
We're going to ask them to give us something. We're in a dilemma.
I'll call our
time frame.
Because
if they don't, then we might end up making a decision without them based on our financial status and Pete Capel's information.
I will, in the meantime, work with Pete and Laura to come back to you individually to say, here's what the proposed agenda would look like. Just take in all of you want to talk about.
And make sure we get all the information that each one of us wants to make sure it's at that meeting. Good. Okay. All right. We're already at 4.
Just one more item here on this workshop. Let's see what we can do. Go in with the mindset that if there's any homework we need to do ahead of time, any consulting of the staff ahead of time, any consulting of the Parks Advisory Committee leadership or any of the City Council, whoever, let's do our homework ahead of time, so that at the when we're wrapped up with that workshop, we can make the decision whether or not to go to public hearing on this.
And I think that we could ask Pete for more information. A little bit more accurate information, more detailed information, because he kind of was going off the cuff the other day. Just kind of caught him off guard, didn't give anything to prepare for. So,
okay.
And that'd be good. It'd be good if we take it on our own to research that and figure it might not come forward.
Okay.
Or ask for specific. Okay.
Good. All right, so we'll have a work session in 2 weeks.
Okay.
We'll make sure we get all the information. It is now officially 4 o'clock. I have nothing else, and we don't have time for long issues, so unless it's something that is absolutely imperative we discuss this week, I would ask that we keep moving. Tom, Commissioner Murphy, do you have anything?
I do. A bill, I was going to do a follow-up on the unemployment payments that the county made to the state. Remember the unemployment off my sheet?
Oh, they have. I'll follow up. They're going to look at that. Yeah.
I was hoping to have an RSN report as to what might be the plan of attack. I understand that on the consent agenda are positions to be filled. I was hoping that you might be able to share consensus.
What we have on that, I met with Vanessa and with Bill, was it last week?
Mm-hmm.
And we are, do we have a schedule for those to listen, to hear those consultants?
You're scheduled tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to hear from Mr.
Okay.
Andy Keller.
And what about the other guy?
It's being set.
Okay. There are two consultants
before
that
Friday.
Will give us insight.
Okay.
One is the one that set up the organizational chart. The other one is the what's his name?
Andy Keller and Dale Jarvis.
Dale Jarvis, you know who he is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess he's well respected. He knows all the other RSNs.
Okay.
And he's another perspective who can advise on and compare this org chart and these positions to the rest of them.
Okay. I'd like to propose a prayer once a week at the beginning of our hearing. Once a week, I picture something like what the legislature does and Congress does. They invite different denominations in to say a prayer, and they put sideboards on it and time limits.
You think of like a minute? Or?
Could be a minute, could be 3 minutes. Sideboards are no politics. I'd like to propose that we consider that.
What made you think about it? What and why? Not just that somebody else did it. Why for us?
I need more help than I'm getting from my staff. the legislature does it, and Congress does it, and I think that it's a fulfilling gesture. Of completion. And we say the Pledge of Allegiance several times during the week, and just at the first public meeting, which is usually Tuesday morning, it'd be nice to have that and kind of remind us when we stand up and pledge the one nation under God, that we have different denominations with sideboards, not to take up any time, by invitation.
In other words, you want to be inclusive, whoever wants to participate.
Yeah, and we could invite different people and sign them up for different dates. And
so, two things. The first thing is that there are legal sideboards for what we can and cannot do. I do believe that you can do it, but there are legal sideboards on not only what they can say and what they can't say, but also that you don't get to decide who's included. You don't get to decide which denomination.
Right.
It would be everyone from Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish, every faith would have to have an opportunity. But there are legal sideboards that I'd love to, if you're really interested in pursuing this, that we get those. And so that before we bless something.
Sorry,
unintentional.
Yeah.
Although it was pretty good. Before we bless it, that we actually get the
can
full
you
understanding
do that?
Of what I have no authority,
okay.
Man. No authority.
So I guess I could get a hold of Olympia, the legislature, and ask the Speaker's office.
Or we can just ask our PA to just find out if there's something clear out there as far as what sideboard you have to set for.
Yeah, I think it'd be simple. I will. You'll ask legal.
I will.
I will check with the legislature and see if they have a format.
I don't know. I bet
we
they would.
Start with.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Thank
cool.
you.
Yeah, maybe the Washington Association of Counties might have something on it, too.
One of our new ordinances that we made besides the wineries was the kennels. And we already have the one and only application for kennels has been in denial. The legal notice came back out from the hearings examiner, and I would like to task our legal department and staff with the information that they got from the hearings examiner, what they would put together that would work for Clark County to have kennels. And I think one of the things that I think I understood was that in this case of denial was he couldn't document meeting sound requirement.
Yeah, the state will act for sound.
And so I don't know how he'd do that. And they reference that 55 decibel state, but we've also referenced that with wineries. Mm-hmm. Are we going to get in trouble down the legal? So that's what I'm asking that we follow up with staff.
So is there a need for amendment to the kennels ordinance based on the hearing examiner?
Yeah, apparently our kennels ordinance doesn't work.
Well, you had the Collets County ordinance.
Oh,
we
ought
to compare because that one does work.
Address noise?
Yeah, I can compare that piece. Marty's already started a circulation of emails in response to the hearings examiner's decision because he thinks exactly what you're saying. We may need to look at how we review these in the future, potentially look at the code.
Cool.
We'll do that.
Okay. I would like to start working on some verbiage similar to what our attorney gave us today on what we would consider putting on the ballot in November for the CRC.
You already have it.
Well, he gave us three or four examples.
Was there examples?
No, one. He gave us one.
Yeah, he gave one.
Last page.
Yeah.
So what was the request then for legal?
That we looked that over. Oh, on that there.
It's not from legal. It's
no, not from legal. It'd be probably from us or from staff that we put together and bring back to this board what we think the verbiage should be on there and it would fit our legal staff requirement.
Okay.
That's all. We already covered everything else.
Cool. Commissioner?
Oh, wait.
I'll
do it real quick.
Yes.
I wrote my question there. Forgot that one.
We can come back.
Go ahead.
Commissioner,
just one thing. Remember when I first sat on the Less One board, there is a state pot of money that we're not drawing from. We're paying for those benefits from the county.
Right.
Is that in the works still? Are you working on that?
Is. Right.
We don't need to address it here?
No.
Okay.
All right. I'll find out where we are.
Okay. I'm good.
I got it.
Cool. Go ahead.
We were looking at the railroad advisory vacancy. And in reviewing the definitions and all that, we decided to go back and fill that position. But in looking at it, it only looks to me like we're filling a half a position in the descriptions. We have alternative one, which is not.
No, Commissioner. Those were options before you voted to put
that
in.
Oh, that was before you had the last decision. Okay.
You decided on option one.
I'm sorry, I just got to it on the bottom pile of my desk.
But related to that, our website doesn't do a very good job at all in advertising for openings or congratulating new members of any of the advisory committees. We go to our website, and that's where it belongs. It says that openings will be advertised in the paper. Well, that we could do a better job and not have to be so abbreviative
it's a great
at the
point.
Paper.
Yeah,
so
totally agree.
Can we improve that, Jim? Jim?
No problem, Pete.
No, it's so for. No, and he was thinking Railroad Advisory Board, but I mean, but as far as.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not for the coordinator, but it's a different thing. But, but yes, as far as our advisory boards, we do these notices, but yeah, it would be much better if it was out there and like easily seen and sorted on the website.
Uh-huh. Make the website more welcoming to new members.
And easier for people who might be interested in applying for something to be able to know what there is out there that we're looking for.
Yeah, there is a pretty easy link to get you to the advisory boards, but when you get there, it's like,
exactly.
Where is it?
Agreed. Totally agree. Was that what you needed on
that? Yep, that's it.
Okay, cool. Bill, you have anything else that you need to accomplish?
Nothing. It can wait. I just want to let you know I'll be off in the next two Mondays. And my wife is celebrating the 150th year of the Territory of Idaho, and she would like me on her arm. So
I wish I could be with you.
Yeah,
no doubt. I don't have to wear any costumes.
I read the connection of Lincoln.
I do. Did you? I have a bill sequestration process that I go through.
Yeah.
I'd just like you know I did get the CRDC bill for $100,000 and would like direction to what to do with it.
You could frame it.
Don't be so cool.
They haven't.
Don't be so cool.
We invited them to give us feedback and tell us what they can do, and we haven't heard from them.
Did you have? I was told that you went and had lunch with the chair of CREDC's board. Did that not happen?
I did. Yeah, I did, and that was a month ago.
Oh, I think it was right after Bill we took. After
so
we
what's
took
that
action.
Like pounding sand?
No, it was a very good discussion. I've known Bill Duffy for years. I haven't been in touch with him for quite a while, but he actually did work for U.S. Digital years ago. He's a good guy.
Not anymore.
And. I think the I would love to be able to see them focus on the positive and just simply drop this extra agenda that they have.
I think they would probably hope for the same thing.
And your general sense and body language was?
Well, I expected that they would go back and they would somehow make some. They would have discussion among themselves and reconsider it, because when you look at if you've watched the paper here, we've got the three businesses here, hundreds of millions per year that we're losing. Well, I think it would be a good investment for us to. I mean, can you imagine $100,000 a year to get several hundred million dollars a year to deliver it in Clark County, and they're being part of shipping them out of here.
And you understand they see it completely that they see that
yeah,
it's $100,000 a year to give up $800 million a year worth of commerce lost if we don't move forward, and hundreds of businesses, not just a few, who would be negatively impacted if we don't move forward. I mean, that is their perspective, and certainly I tend to share that perspective, but they see the world a little differently than
they
you do on
they
that.
Do see it very differently, because to me, to have them part of this process to ship some of the three of the biggest businesses out of Clark County, to me, that no compute.
I hear you.
Bill, right. The letter we sent to CREDC, I don't recall all of it. Mm-hmm. Does it warrant sending it in lieu of payment again to them? Would we have to change the verbiage?
Well, I think that the not paying this bill has certain ramifications pursuant to our agreement with them.
Well, I want
that them, maybe legal.
I want them to know they didn't answer our question.
Well, I can certainly get that letter out.
Do you remember? I'd like to see if that letter would work. I'd like to send that letter back with the invoice so that they answer our question. They ignored our question or our concern and sent us an invoice.
Well, I think, I don't know, I haven't spoken to CRDC, but by sending the invoice, if the county doesn't pay it by March 31st, right now we're not technically in breach of the contract.
Yeah, I understand that.
If we don't respond to the invoice and pay the money, then we are in breach of the contract.
And maybe that's their
I think this is probably just their way of making sure that they're dotting the I's and crossing the T's. To put it in a legal
they didn't
position,
have to invoice this.
Keep the options open.
They didn't have to invoice this. They invoiced that to be the option that we would be liable.
Potentially.
So I'd like to send the letter back to them.
Wouldn't that good? I mean, good
they could at least have the courage to send me a letter back and tell me to pound sand. They didn't do that.
Well,
real quickly, I'll get the letter out, see what it says. I'll bring it back.
It's a small enough staff over there that it's not an oversight.
Speaking of letters to the Vancouver Chamber, Commissioner Madour signed a letter that I had drafted for all three of you, and then we would need to change this, which I think is a
What's
little...
What's that?
You asked for this change to be made to the letter you want to share with your colleagues. It's a little
rough,
I think, in my opinion. You already signed my version.
Oh, this one here?
Are you not being friendly?
Here, why don't you read it to us?
It says, remember we paid the invoice and mm-hmm. as approved the payment of the invoice. First, thank you for substantial discount. Second, thank you for Chamber's continuous support and involvement in staging the annual State of the County. With, mm-hmm. And in an effort to reconcile paying our dues and maintaining a long-standing relationship, we would ask that you review the attached resolution passed by the board. This was, you know, our position on the CRC. While we may not change our board's position, we at least know the strong resolve of a majority of the board representing our constituency at this time. Commissioner Brewer asks that be changed. If we commissioners' representatives cease to faithfully represent our constituents in the same way, we urge you to ask your members for their position on this issue before you presume to speak on their behalf.
They already did. They pulled their membership. They already did. They can give you the results of that. I mean, but they can
actually,
definitely.
I would like to see because they pulled a very small, selective.
You'd have to ask Kelly for
subset.
That. I was told the results of it. I did ask her about that,
and she said, not only did we not ask all those, but we don't want you to ask them.
Hmm. Interesting.
I believe they're not representing their citizens, their membership at all.
So you're talking about adding this paragraph.
Based on your opinion of things.
That's okay. I thought
the original was worded fine.
They're saying over and over again that we represent 1,000 businesses and we all support this project. And I'm thinking, no, you didn't even ask them.
So my question was, do you want to add this paragraph to the bottom of this letter?
Uh-huh. Yeah. If you want to reword it a little bit to make it more
valuable,
that's fine.
I'm not getting into the game of calling other people out as if you know how they're representing their constituent groups when you're using three businesses as your proxy for the entire business community and then calling them out saying that they're not representing the entire business community. Well, so it's disingenuous.
We had a vote.
Of the business community? You did?
No, we had a vote. 58% of our vote, 57% of our
vote. Right, on the sales and that's a big question.
Read it. Maybe instead of making a statement, because I don't want to make a statement.
If we add it to the bottom of this other letter, I don't think it's as harsh. I think when
you talk about having them presume to speak on their behalf, that's harsh. It is a statement.
Can I have a turn?
I was talking to him, actually, so if you would like to add something to the conversation, please do. But no, I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I was responding to Commissioner Milton's comment.
Okay, you two stop it. I see what you're saying, and there's another way to do it.
For Eric,
how would do it?
Your own version. I thought we had something in the works that was an objective presented with them, but
what I would suggest is that we don't turn it into we don't make a statement.
Well.
Instead, we ask them a question.
Are you take a while?
Just one thing, Ron.
Well, we're done.
Have you polled all of your members to learn where they stand on this issue? If so, please provide us a copy.
Because I think you're right. I think they didn't take a vote, and they took it was the executive board that made the decision.
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
To me, it's we should what's fundamental to this thing is that we really
and we
need
did
to make sure.
I don't want to get into the general conversation
that,
of it, but
that we have.
But you'll sign on.
I'll sign on that.
Okay.
We need to make sure that people don't misrepresent their constituents or their members.
I agree.
My concern.
Anything else, Bill?
I totally agree.
I don't see what the thing.
As well.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? Because seriously, I got to go.
There's the final version of the assignments. Make sure you go. And there's the alternative.
No.
The alternative.
So we don't have. This is just a copy of it.
I'll bring my resume.
That's what I need. All right. Cool. We got no more time for anybody. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, everybody. We did not change for this. We did not charge at all for the entertainment.
Exactly. It's free.
All I had was another invoice anyway. So
files here pretty quick.
Sorry, Ron. Next week.
Do you have a copy?
Were you here for that one, Ron?
That one's mine. I wrote on that one. There you go.
I could ask the guy to stay if you think I should.
Just the mayor of Woodland, you know.
What? Mayor of Woodland.
That's not even in the city of
Vancouver County.
Okay, well, that was fun.
All right,
I'll unplug this.
Whoa. Okay, wait a minute, got it. Kelly?